Dandana. Jamuna Tiravana Chadi Jamuna Tiravana Chadi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hadi Madhava Kunjabi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hadi Bihadi Gopi Jana Balabha Giribhara Dhadi Gopi Jana Balabha Giribhara Dhadi Yasoda Nandana Braja Janarandana Yasoda Nandana Braja Janarandana Jamana Tiravana Chadi Jamana Tiravana Chadi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hadi Madhava Kunjabi Hadi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hadi Jaya Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivajagacharaja Astatarasatasi Srimad His Divine Grace is the Bhakti Vedanta Swami Sri Prabhupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnavrindaki Gorpimanandi. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Continuing this morning, Canto 10, Chapter 27. And this morning's verses are text 14 and 15, 15 and 16. 10, 27, 15. We just completed a section yesterday morning that's Indra's prayers. And now the new section is Krishna response. One of the messages that was in the previous section continuing here, and that is Yeyatam Mam Prapadyante. Indra is coming clean. He is being very honest, very straightforward, not just praising, but he's acknowledging his mistake and what was behind the mistake, what caused him to make that mistake. Pride covered his intelligence, So though he knew all the things that his prayers showed that he knew, he couldn't see because of pride. And because of pride, then also he acted the way that he acted. And he spoke the way that he spoke. So because we're going to hear, because he spoke so honestly, Krishna is also going to reciprocate. He's going to speak honestly. I mean, not like as opposed to deceptively, but he's going to express to Indra why he did what he did. So when we, two things. When we offer prayers, or when we're reading prayers that are found in the Bhagavatam, there's a disclosure of the heart to the Lord, and the Lord reciprocates. And similarly, when we offer prayers to the Lord, he reciprocates. So we should know that. That's his nature. And our prayers will be heard, and our prayers will be responded to according to the nature of those prayers. The second point is, even aside from the prayer, Krishna understood Indra's heart, because he's in Krishna's heart. And understanding Indra's heart, he knew before he did what he did that there was pride in his heart, and he wanted to help him become free from pride. And so, similarly, whether we offer prayers or not, Krishna knows our heart, and he will help us. Specifically, those who are devoted to him, Krishna will help. He doesn't interfere with those that are not devoted to him. And he steps in when invited to step in by his devotees to rectify what needs to be rectified. He show his mercy. So he showed his mercy to Indra in a particular way, and Indra's pride was really big time, as we discussed. It took 7 days of Krishna doing what Krishna did to have that pride of Indra curbed. So he had really big pride. And we may also have some in that category of anartha, some unwanted something. And it may take a long time, not just 7 days. When something like that may happen, 1 day, 1 hour, 7 days, seven lifetimes, whatever it takes, it doesn't mean specifically for those who are devotees that Krishna is not kind to the devotee. So when some difficulty comes, it's not just cute, it's the fact that Krishna is being merciful. He's especially merciful to the devotees because they want to be connected to him, but there's some obstacle. So his mercy comes in the form of removing that obstacle. And when obstacles are removed, sometimes it feels bumpy and uncomfortable and painful. But it's the ultimate kindness of Krishna to the devotee to take away the obstacles. So that's what, in text 15, there's a Sanskrit word that's the feature of these two verses. Anugranata. Anugranata. Acting to show mercy to you. So Krishna's coming clean. He's saying, Indra, you just described why you did what you did. I'm going to describe to you why I did what I did. I'm just acting to show mercy to you. Translation, text 15. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "My dear Indra, it was out of mercy that I stopped the sacrifice meant for you. You were greatly intoxicated by your opulence as King of Heaven, and I wanted you to always remember me." So, in some cases, Krishna's taking away opulence will help somebody remember him. It's not like a universal rule. You want to remember Krishna, okay. He'll take away all your opulence. But in Indra's case, and taking away the opulence was he stopped the sacrifice. And it's not like all the opulence of Indra was taken. It's just the sacrifice was stopped. Purport from the BBT. According to Sridhar Swami, Indra and Lord Krishna here exchange a heart-to-heart talk. Indra revealed his mind to the Lord. And now Lord Krishna similarly reveals his own intention. In text 11 of this chapter, Indra emphatically declared that Lord Krishna is, in fact, everything, and thus, according to Indra's own criterion, forgetting Lord Krishna is clearly a state of insanity. Now, that was when his intelligence was covered by pride, and so he couldn't see what he could see when his intelligence wasn't covered by pride. So when one's intelligence becomes covered by pride, at least here the language is that's insanity. You can't see what you know. You lose what you know. When the Supreme Lord reminds us of his supreme existence, he is not proudly advertising himself like a mundane politician or entertainer. The Lord is self-satisfied in his own infinite existence and is trying lovingly to bring us back to our own perfect existence as his eternal associates. Paragraph. From God's point of view, even the mighty King of Heaven Indra is a mere child, and a naughty child at that. And thus the Lord, being a caring father, punished his child, which was just stopping the sacrifice, and brought him back to the sanity of Krishna consciousness. The purports are really short. Vishwanath has one sentence. Because Indra spoke with sincerity, Krishna also replied with sincerity. Just note, they're following Sridhar Swami. Because Lord Chaitanya placed Sridhar Swami on a pedestal and said his commentary is the gold standard for Bhagavatam commentary, so they naturally followed him. Jiva Goswami writes, suitable to Indra's confession in verse 12, this is verse 15, verse 12, said, he did what he did for the reasons of out of pride. Suitable to Indra's confession in verse 12, Krishna speaks suitable to his powerful position. Quote, destroying your sacrifice was mercy, not cruelty. Though I should be angry at such action, I cannot be angry with a person such as you. I did this so that you could remember me again and again. Anu smriteye, and constantly. Sanatana Goswami, I stopped the sacrifice not in anger, But as mercy, outer anger and inner mercy, so that you could remember me repeatedly. It would be impossible to remember me if you had great power and wealth. I did it so that you could remember me by associating with me, who am always intoxicated with love. So now, text 16. Krishna's continuing. A man, blinded by intoxication with his power and opulence, cannot see me nearby with the rod of punishment in my hand. If I desire his real welfare, I drag him down from his materially fortunate position. That's the intoxicated person. Purport. This is the BBT purport. One may argue, quote, God should desire everyone's real welfare, therefore, why should Lord Krishna state in this verse that he removes the intoxicating opulence of one who is about to receive his mercy? Rather than simply stating that he'll remove everyone's opulence and bless everyone. On the other hand, we may point out that irrevocable death occurs for everyone, and thus Lord Krishna does take away everyone's opulence and everyone's false pride. However, if we apply the Lord's statement to events within one's immediate life, before death, we may refer to Krishna's statement in Bhagavad Gita 4.11. As people surrender to me, I reward them accordingly. Lord Krishna desires everyone's welfare. But when he says here, yasya chechchami anugraham, for one whose welfare I desire, it is understood that the Lord refers to those who, by their own activities and thoughts, have manifested a desire to achieve spiritual benefit. Lord Krishna wants everyone to be happy in Krishna consciousness, but when he sees that a specific person also desires spiritual happiness, the Lord especially desires it for that person. So our intention, I mean, this is similar to the what I spoke in the earlier part before the reading the verses. What do we really want? No, we become devotees in this world because there's certainly some spiritual interest, because otherwise there's like lots of other things for that are available for our activities. And then proportionate to our intent, then Krishna establishes his intent in relation to us. Lord Krishna wants everyone to be happy in Krishna consciousness, but when he sees that a specific person also desires spiritual happiness, the Lord especially desires it for that person. This is a natural act of reciprocation consistent with the Lord's statement, Samoham Sarvabhuteshu, I'm equal in my attitude to all living beings. And there's substantial purports here. We'll start with Jiva Goswami. Krishna speaking. Quote, otherwise you would go astray, since you became devoid of unlimited knowledge, blinded by intoxication with power and wealth. Such a person does not see me with a cow stick in my hand for the worshippers of Krishna, or with a stick of punishment in my hand for people like you. Speaking of his lordship in Cowherd Pastimes, he teaches bhakti found in the internal associates such as Nanda. So for those who are devotees, there's Nanda with his cowherd stick, and he's teaching them that way. And for those that are like Indra, he teaches in another way, not the cowherd stick. But he's teaching bhakti in both cases. Quote, since that person does not see this, that's like Indra, I desire to give him mercy. Thus I take away his wealth, which causes his power. The wealth causes power. But seeing that this would be intolerable to you, I did not do this. Instead, I only destroyed your sacrifice. So, wow. Krishna's kindness is customized. Sanatan Goswami. A person blinded with the intoxication of power and wealth does not know the punishment in the form of time. If I desire to show him mercy, I destroy his power by his wealth. That is, wealth is the cause of his power. I drag him down from his materially fortunate position. Further commentary by Jiva Goswami. There's several. This is this 10th canto commentary. Vaishnava Toshini. Speaking of his lordship in Cowherd Pastimes, he teaches bhakti found in the internal associates such as Nanda. Since a proud person does not see this, I desire to give him mercy. Thus I take away his wealth, which causes his power. But seeing that this would have been intolerable to you, I did not do this. Instead, I only destroyed your sacrifice. Then there's two very interesting sections from Priti Sandarbha. Priti Sandarbha is the final of the six Sandarbhas, and is speaking of the prayojana, the goal, and he, instead of calling it prema, he calls it Priti Sandarbha. So he makes reference to several sections from 10th canto, including this one. So the first two are from chapter 86. And chapter 86 is towards the end of the 10th canto, and Krishna decides to go visit Mithila. And specifically, in Mithila, there's two very exalted devotees of Krishna. One is King Bahulashva, who the description is like Ambarish had fantastic wealth and opulence, and he was not at all attached to it. He was an elevated and detached king, descendant of King Janak. And in Videha. So it's mentioned he eventually reached Videha. So Shrutadev is the Brahmana, and Shrutadev is characterized as being like Sudama Brahman. He was like totally impoverished, and he was totally happy. So they're both were greatly devoted to Krishna. Very opulent one, detached. Very impoverished one, detached. And very devoted. So here's the quotes from Priti Sandarbha from this chapter 86. O Lord, you are that supreme soul. Instruct us since we are your servants. How shall we serve you, my Lord? Simply seeing you puts an end to all the troubles of human life. And then again, same chapter. Simply by glancing at those who came to see him, Krishna, the spiritual master of the three worlds, delivered them from the blindness of materialism. As he thus endowed them with fearlessness and spiritual vision, he heard the devatas and men singing his glories, which purify the entire universe and destroy all misfortune. Eventually he reached Videha. So this is on his way. He stopped in various kingdoms on the way, and people praising him and so forth. He goes on, Vishnu Purana agrees with this. Here's something interesting. Persons with impure hearts are of two types. Those who are apathetic, and here's this phrase he likes, Bahirmukha, apathetic to the Lord, and those who hate the Lord. Impure hearts of two types. The apathetic are of two types. One, though seeing the Lord, some are absorbed in material enjoyment. And two, others, though seeing the Lord, show disrespect. An example of the first type are the devatas and ordinary people who were absorbed in enjoyment when Lord Krishna appears in this world. An example of the second type is Indra, who spoke with contempt. This is chapter 25, reference, early part. We're in 27. So he said, Krishnam martyam upashritya. Krishna has a material body. The Shrutis say, now he's quoting 10th canto, chapter 87, where the Shrutis are speaking. Quote, having turned their minds towards you, the ever blissful soul of all existence, they no longer dedicate themselves to serving life at home, which simply robs a man of his good qualities. Even the Lord says to Indra what he says here in this verse. A man blinded by intoxication with his power and opulence cannot see me standing nearby with the rod of punishment in my hand. If I desire his real welfare, I destroy his material fortune. Then he concludes, the relation of the cowherds to material objects was not for themselves, but for service to the Lord. Then in another, this is the conclusion, commentary. Jiva Goswami, again in Priti Sandarbha, to them, this is quote, to them, their eyes destroyed by darkness, Lord Krishna, the master of the three worlds, gave auspiciousness. He gave them eyes to see the truth. Now, it doesn't say where the reference is from. This is also described in the previously quoted prose passage of Vishnu Purana. Persons whose hearts are impure are of two kinds, same message. So we'll hear it again. They who have turned their faces away from the Lord, Bhagavat Bahirmukha, and they who hate the Lord, Bhagavat Viveshi. The persons who have turned their faces away from the Lord are of two types. Persons who see the Lord and insult him, and persons who at the time of the Lord's incarnation in this world think the Lord is an ordinary demigod, human being, or other like being. This is described in the following insult spoken by the demigod Indra, same reference, Krishnam martyam upashritya. The people of Raja have taken shelter of Krishna, who is only a human being. Now, and again, he quotes the personified Vedas in chapter 87 of Canto 10. The Supreme Lord's rescue of persons with impure hearts is described by the personified Vedas in these words, quote, "O Supreme Personality of Godhead, full of spiritual opulence, anyone who once places his thoughts in you will never again worship materialistic household life, which robs a man of his dearest wealth." This is also affirmed by the Supreme Lord himself in these words spoken to the demigod Indra in Srimad Bhagavatam, this verse that we read. "A man blinded by pride of wealth and power does not see the hand that waits to punish him. If I am kind to him, I make him fall from his fortunate position." And then the final text is reference to chapter 14 that we just completed. That's Brahma's prayers. This description of people with impure hearts does not apply to the cowherd people of Braja, who dedicated their everything to serve Lord Krishna. This is described in Krishna's words of Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.35. Then the last, this is Brihat Bhagavatamrita 1.4.27. This is now Prahlad, Nard is visiting Prahlad and glorifying Prahlad, and Prahlad is speaking. He's making reference to this verse when Prahlad speaks. As the Lord says, quote, "When I wish to favor someone, I make him lose all his opulence." It's paraphrasing this particular morning's verse, text 16. Such statements as this are evidence, and so are also the statements of his exalted devotees. Commentary. In the first half of this verse, Prahlad cites Srimad Bhagavatam 10.27.16, where Sri Krishna advises the repentant Indra. Sri Krishna made the same point in other contexts as his comments to Yudhisthira Maharaj, Bhagavatam 10.88.8, quote, "If I actually favor someone, I gradually make him lose all his wealth." The same point is also made by devotees like Sudama, Brahmana, and Vritrasura in the words of Sudama, quote, "To a devotee who lacks spiritual insight, the Supreme Lord will not grant the wonderful opulence of this world, kingly power, and material assets. Indeed, in his infinite wisdom, the unborn Lord well knows how the intoxication of pride can cause the fall down of the wealthy." And as stated by Vritra, this is the last quote, translation from a verse. "Persons who fully surrender at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and always think of his lotus feet are accepted and recognized by the Lord as his own personal assistants or servants. The Lord never bestows upon such servants the brilliant opulences of the upper, lower, or middle planetary systems of this material world. When one possesses material opulence in any of these three divisions of the universe, his possessions naturally increase. His enmity, anxiety, mental agitation, pride, and belligerence. Thus one goes through much endeavor to increase and maintain his possessions, and he suffers great unhappiness when he loses them. Bhagavatam 6:11:22. Now there's all this talk about losing opulence, and you know, from one very simple, maybe worldly vantage point, he says, you know, didn't get a sacrifice offered to him. What's the big deal? Why is that losing, taking away his opulence? It's more describing the principle. In part, the sacrifices, it's not just like the gesture of offering honor. There's other details that the items in the sacrifice, their nourishment for the demigods. I mean, it's not the same, but it's something like in Pitriloka. In Pitriloka, the forefathers are nourished by the eldest son offering Shraddha. And if the eldest son doesn't follow that religious code and doesn't offer Shraddha, it's described, the forefathers, the Pitris in Pitriloka, they not only go hungry, but they suffer intolerably. And it's described that if that happens, and it happens and happens, then they are sometimes awarded the position of Yamadutta so they can punish those that are sinful. You know, it's not a high consciousness position to one that cause other people to suffer because you suffered. So that's like, you know, a dharmic principle where you better behave or you're going to get punished. So Krishna is not like that. We had this discussion and there was some question about it. Like, the question about it was, Krishna said to the resident of Vrindavan, if you don't worship Govardhan Hill, you may die, or you may be severely punished, or whatever it said, Krishna said. That sounds like, you know, intimidation or motivation by fear. Anyway, Krishna's not motivating people. People may try to motivate ignorant individuals by fear. If you break the law, you're going to suffer. So that, but it's a fact. But that's not the motivating factor for elevated persons, because the elevated persons aren't thinking, "Oh, I want to avoid getting punished for sin." They're other reasons they're avoiding sin besides, you know, it hurts, the reaction to sin. Krishna reciprocates. It's some my appreciation, one prominent appreciation from these two verses is in many ways Krishna is reciprocating with the soul, his part and parcel devotee, who is approaching him with some wanting to be connected disposition, which includes us, however feeble, or somewhere in between that and Brijbasi, Krishna reciprocates. He sees, he recognizes, he wants. And part of what he wants is constant remembrance. You know, the pride goes, and in its place, constant remembrance. So difficulty, tribulation, can be a fantastic impetus for constant remembrance, especially when the tribulation doesn't go away so readily. And then after that tribulation comes another 10 tribulations, and after those 10 come another 50, and then you know, what have I done to deserve this 50 tribulations? You know, reverting back to selfishness is, it's really natural for us. But staying fixed on whatever the cause is, this tat te nukampam sutsamikshamano verse is so important. Whatever is coming, let it come. And I'll take steps, whatever is appropriate, but even when taking those steps, let my mind not budge an inch from the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. The mood of being his servant, looking to his lotus feet in the mood of service. So we have our heroes that are like that. I mean, in a very explicit way, Hanuman, but in the higher rasas, it's not that they're not looking at the Lord's lotus feet in the mood of service. There's other flavors besides that service mood, other rasas, that wanting to be always in the mood of service to the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead, that humility and that mood of service, that's spiritual potency. And that spiritual potency can dissolve the misfortune and the feelings of misfortune. So much so that even the residents of Vrindavan, this inundation of Indra, that was suffering. So it's not like go to Goloka and you won't stub your toe. You won't have a problem. It's just like, you know, silk, very smooth. But there's not fear. There's not. It's ecstasy of different varieties. It's a profound mystery. But that's awaiting us. Just by these activities we're doing, as simple as they are, just hearing narrations of Krishna's pastimes, that's our medicine to overcome our disease, forgetfulness of Krishna. See if there's any discussion. Anyone present wants to ask, and otherwise we'll go to online. Well, you're thinking about it. Okay, do you have something? Yeah?
Yeah, this is Janamejaya Prabhu. When we correct another person, if the other person is not able to accept the correction, what should we conclude and what should be our reaction?
Well, before you try to correct somebody, make sure that you have the right authority to correct somebody and the relationship, not a relationship of authority and a relationship of affection, and the other person understands it before you go down the path of correcting somebody. So I'm suggesting before you even launch, or at this stage you've already launched and there hasn't been a response, go back and look inside. Where was I coming from when I issued this correction? Was it, you know, all the other questions? Is it my position to do so? And another comment is extending correction can have different moods, supposing one does have that position of authority and the relationship is one where the other individual understands you're their well-wisher. Issuing correction should be still from your side as the correcting authority person in the mood of service, not in the mood of correction. Again, it's look inside and do your self-evaluation before you let the other evaluation or the, you know, what's next question. You might want to consider, did I select the right method? Did I select the right time? Did I select the right circumstance? You go, again, look inside. And wait for some indication, some intelligence from Super Soul to help you understand the answers to all those questions. And then you, in the mood of service, consider what's the best next step. And the best next step may just be to smile. And move along. Not be, you know, not forget, but just, you know, pause, put over in the parking lot the need of this individual for some improvement. And maybe, so many maybes, maybe I'm not the right one, maybe I did it in the wrong way, maybe it was the wrong time, maybe it was the wrong words. So you allow some time to process. Super Soul give indication of what's best next, because that's the question, what to do, what's next.
This is Kirti Prabhu. It appears from the purport that the mercy from the Lord in the form of tribulations are measured based on the devotee's ability to handle them with the goal of increasing their love. This is sometimes very difficult to fathom, especially while in the eye of a whirlpool of reversal. How to stay rooted in this understanding and move towards Krishna without moving into negative space?
Well, it's a mode of service. That's how you do it. Very simple. And Krishna will support your mode of service. That's what we're hearing in these purports. Krishna will support that mode of service. He'll recognize your mood, and he'll support that mood of service. That's how you stay fixed.
This is Vishalaksha Prabhu. King Indra is honest with Lord Krishna, but in our case, honest means based on the Krishna conscious principles and also should follow the materialistic moral honesty principles. That's, looks like a comment.
It's just a comment. It's a comment, not a question. Okay. Okay.
Good Maharaj, yeah, just a comment on that Kirti Prabhu's question. It's very sweet when you were reading Jiva Goswami's commentary that Krishna did not remove the opulence because it's intolerable for Krishna.
Yeah, for intolerable for Arjuna. I mean for Indra.
Indra, I'm sorry. That's really deepening my attraction for Krishna's shelter. That's very sweet. Thank you. Guru Maharaj, you mentioned in the beginning of the class, when we hear these prayers from Srimad Bhagavatam, we can understand it's Lord Krishna's nature that he will hear those prayers and reciprocate. And even when we don't pray also, he will reciprocate and try to help us. I'm trying to connect. So there are at times I deeply want to connect and pray. There are at times it's just kind of apathetic. Okay,
it's just kind of apathetic.
Yeah, I keep going through that. I know I have to connect, but the heart doesn't open up. So does that limit, not exactly limit, change Krishna's reciprocation?
And I don't understand. Say the last part. I got the preamble. What's the last part?
So when I openly reach out versus I don't do, does that change Krishna's reciprocation?
For us? But it doesn't mean, it might mean you like, you know, to stay closed. So I'll allow her to stay closed. Krishna may do something else. And that is, you know, she wants to be my devotee, but she's closed, so let me do something that brings opening again, whatever that might be. Some good fortune, some ill fortune, some bonk on the head, and you know, whatever. It's personal even when you're closed, is the point. Like this example of Indra that you'd pointed out. He couldn't take it, so he didn't do that which he couldn't take. But he's intervening. It's not changing the free will of Indra, but he's intervening in his life because he is a devotee. He wants to be in that relationship, but he got covered, so he's intervening. We can step in, or just, you know, just leave it, or, you know, send a messenger. He has so many options. It's a relationship, and it's not a cookie cutter thing. Okay.
Is there something that we can consciously do to cultivate the regular?
It's the mood of service unto Krishna. I want to, my existence is to please Krishna. And go there. And keep going there and keep going there. While you're doing, you know, you're chanting, and while you're doing your reading, and while you're doing your this thing and that thing. In the mood of service for the pleasure of Krishna. With that intent. That's the soul. That's the heart. You know, we've been doing something else for quite a long time. So it takes effort and takes repeated effort and distraction and come back again. And it's a cultivation, but it's natural. The other is the disease, and this is natural. Okay. We're done. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.